This morning, our text can be found in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 16. 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, verses 7 through 13. Amen. It reads as follows. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually, remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, you may be seated. Our subject for this morning is a reason to give thanks. I'd like to thank my pastor. I'd like to thank my pastor for his leadership. I'd like to thank him for his guidance. I'd like to thank him for his correction. I'd like to thank him for his prayers. Amen. Mother Jones, I also thank you for being the beautiful woman of God that you are. And to you, the friendship family, it is such a privilege and an honor to be able to serve here at this church. On First Sunday, Pastor invited us into the life of a young shepherd boy whose name was David. We were front row and center to the battle that David had with Goliath, the giant of Gath. In our text for today, we once again meet David, but now he is the reigning king of Israel. Our text this morning, we have some parallel texts, so I want to make sure that you also have the parallel texts for today. The parallel texts are 2 Samuel chapter 6 and Psalm 105. Our scripture for this morning comes from the book of Chronicles. The books of Chronicles, they recount the important events of the lives of Israel's leaders, especially the kings. They provide additional details to the scriptures that's found in the books of Kings and the books of Samuel. In the chapters between 1 Samuel chapter 17, where Pastor preached on First Sunday, and 2 Samuel chapter 6, a tremendous number of events have occurred in the life of David. He's been heralded by the women of Israel for his victories in battle. He found a brother in Jonathan, the son of Saul. He's become the subject of the evil plots of Saul. He's escaped Saul's javelin twice. He's escaped men that Saul sent to kill him while he was asleep in his bed. He's escaped men that have come to Naboth in Ramah. The messengers that Saul sent, he sent three groups of messengers. But every time a group got there, as Samuel and the prophets were prophesying, the men, the Holy Spirit, just intervened, and they too began to prophesy. Three times. And even on the occasion when King Saul came himself, the Holy Spirit intervened with him, and he too fell down prophesying. God kept David. David lived his life on the run, trying to escape the clutches of a madman. He ate the showbread at Nob. God fed him. He played crazy at Achish before the king of Gath. God stayed the hands of his enemies. He hid in a cave in Adullam. God hid him. He lost and recovered his wives that were taken by an invading army. God led him. He mourned the loss of his friend Jonathan and King Saul. God consoled him. And he warred with the remaining members of Saul's family. And I don't know about you, but when God has brought me through a tremendous time of trials and tribulations, I have to throw my hands up in the air and just thank the Lord for how he's brought me. I have to thank the Lord for how he's kept me. I have to thank the Lord for how he's provided for me. Nobody but the Lord could have done those things in the life of David. Finally, David has now come to be the king of both Judah and Israel. It's the fulfillment of the anointing so long ago that as Samuel poured the oil on his head when he was but a shepherd boy, David decided to establish his kingdom in Jerusalem. And it was now time to bring the Ark of the Covenant into the city of David. You see, the Ark of the Covenant represented God's perpetual presence with his chosen people. And at this time, it was presently in the house of Abinadab. So David gathered the priests, and they went to get the Ark of the Covenant. But the first time that they went, they were not successful. You see, David, in his joy, he forgot the instructions that the Lord had given. And there's something about the Lord. He wants us to do things the way he says to do them. And in this case, in moving the Ark of the Covenant, he had given very specific instructions that they were to move the Ark of the Covenant, not on a cart, but the priests were to carry the Ark of the Covenant. But David, in this instance, in his haste, they put the Ark of the Covenant on a cart. And on that cart, as the oxen were pulling it, the Ark of the Covenant began to shake. And Uzzah reached to touch it. and Uzzah was killed on the spot. Because no one was supposed to put their hands on the Ark of the Covenant. And so they took the Ark of the Covenant to the house of Obed-Edom. And there it resided for 3 months. And David said he needed to inquire of the Lord. You see, we have to be careful, friendship. Even when we're doing the work of the Lord, we need to make sure that we're doing it the way God says do it. Because there can be penalties and consequences. And in this case, there was a grave consequence. So after David received word from the Lord, the Lord reminded him of the way in which the Ark of the Covenant was supposed to be moved. And so once again, after they had received word that the Ark of the Covenant was blessing Obed-Edom's house, they decided to go again to try to bring the Ark of the Covenant into the city of David. And they did so. In the scriptures, it says that they did so with gladness. And we should take a cue from David about how we do the work of the Lord. We ought to be glad when we have the opportunity to do the work of the Lord. We ought to not have to be begged to do the work of the Lord. For it was nobody but the Lord that enables us to do that work each and every day. So this is the day in verse 7 of Chronicles. And it says that David and the priests went to bring the ark from Obed-Edom's house. It says he had the singers with their instruments. They had the musicians with harps and they had cymbals. And David, it says that he danced. And not only did David dance, but David leaped for joy. They brought up the ark with a shout and with the sound of the trumpets. Not only when David danced, it says that David danced with all his might. And that's how we should serve the Lord. We ought to not serve the Lord in a half-hearted manner. But as Pastor says, we need to be all in for the Lord. If no other reason than because the Lord is all in for us. So David leaped and he danced. And they brought the ark into the city of David. And it says that on this very day, David delivered his first song to thank the Lord. And it read this way. It says, "Give thanks unto the Lord." Just like David gave thanks. Yeah. We ought to give thanks. For Psalms 34 and 1, it says, "For I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." That's how we ought to praise the Lord. That's how we ought to give thanks unto the Lord. It goes further to read David's psalm. It says, "Call upon his name." David called upon the Lord as he fled here and he fled there, trying to escape Saul. And I too will call on him. For Psalms 145 and 18 says that the Lord draws near to all those who call upon him. All of our lives, there have had to been times that we have had to call upon the Lord. And the one thing that we can say that he always came through.
Amen.
There's never been a time that our faithful God has not heard the cries of his children. That's just one more reason we ought to say thank you.
Thank you,
Lord. The next line read, make known his deeds. Make his deeds known among the people. How do we do that? Well, he told us how to do it. He says we can sing songs unto him. And we can tell of the marvelous things that he's done. It's not too hard to tell others about what God has done. 1 John 4:14 tells us that we should testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And Psalms 145:11 says that we should speak of the glory of his kingdom and of his power. We should celebrate the name of the Lord. Because if we can celebrate the Houston Astros, quite certainly we can celebrate our all and all. We can celebrate our brand. We can celebrate our way. We can celebrate our truth. And we can celebrate our life. In all that David endured, he certainly knew from whence came his strength. And if we look at Psalms 18, he declared, I will love thee, O Lord. He says, he's my strength. The Lord is my rock. He's my fortress and my deliverer. He's my God, my strength. And in whom do I trust? Lastly, David not only celebrated what the Lord had done collectively for the Israelites, but he also celebrated that he had been chosen. Not only were the Israelites chosen, but he had been chosen to be king by the Lord. We too have been chosen.
Yeah.
Ephesians 1:4. It says that he chose us before the foundations of the world. The Ark of the Covenant in the city of David and its contents, it provided reminders to the Israelites. It provided reminders of God's past redemptions and God's grace. Much like the communion that we take of every first Sunday. As we participate in it, it should take us back. It should take us back to that Friday. When our Lord and Savior was marched from judgment hall to judgment hall.
All right.
Without saying a single word. Isaiah 53 said that he was wounded for our transgressions. And he was bruised for our iniquities. And he was led up Via Dolorosa to a hill called Calvary. He was hung on a cross as a ransom for our sins. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. But he rose on the third day morning, that we might have the right to eternal life. And I don't know about you, but the Lord has done too much for me not to say thank you. The Lord has done too much for me to not open up my mouth. The Lord has done too much for me to not be able to tell what he's done. For when I was yet in my sins, he saved me. And I'm standing here today to be able to proclaim his goodness and his grace. Because you know what? I could have not been here. And it's only by his mercy, it's only by his saving grace that I stand. And all of us have an opportunity to give him thanks. And if there's one here today who doesn't know our Lord and our Savior, today is a good day for you to come. While the blood is still running warm in your veins, you're missing out on the best thing that will ever come your way. Because there's nobody like the Lord. There's nobody that can do what the Lord can do. There's nobody that can bring you through. So let us all stand all over the building as the deacons come. We ought to be thankful today.